Hello, this is David Greenwalt, founder and developer of the Leanness Lifestyle and Club Lifestyle online program, a comprehensive lifestyle management program for weight loss. What you're about to hear is an interview I did on the phone with Club Lifestyle online member Robin Bergstrom from Illinois. Robin has been a member of Club Lifestyle online since 2002. Many of you may know Robin or have seen her around the Club Lifestyle forum because she has continued to be a very active member who gives a lot of herself to support other members, new and old alike. It was a real pleasure to interview Robin after all these years having her as not only a member, but also recently as an assistant coach for one of my boot camp intensives. I have no doubt you will enjoy this interview and be able to take away several valuable insights Robin shares about her lack of fitness before the Leanness lifestyle and her incredibly fit and active athletic lifestyle since becoming a member back in 2002. Welcome, everyone. This is David Greenwald, and today I'm speaking with Club Lifestyle member Robin Bergstrom from Illinois. Welcome, Robin.
Hello.
You know, it almost seems weird that we're just now doing this interview with you because you've been involved in so many different aspects of the Leanness Lifestyle and the Club Lifestyle online program, but here we are, and with great reason, of course, which we'll get into in just a minute. Before we get into all that stuff, would you tell us a little bit about yourself? Who are you? What do you do? How old are you? How tall are you? Give us a little bit of background about who Robin is.
Okay, I am 40 years old. I have three teenagers. I've been married almost 20 years. I'm 4'11". I'm a personal trainer and teach yoga and spinning.
Okay, and how did you find the Leanness Lifestyle program, and when was that?
Let's see, I found Leanness Lifestyle in December of 2002. I believe it was through a Body for Life site. And was lucky enough to get into an intensive in January of 2003.
What did we call it back then, that intensive you were involved in? You remember?
Diva 3.
Is that Diva 3?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what's your history like with weight? And you can, you know, maybe start at high school or beyond high school, whenever you think you can get some valid indicators as far as what your weight was doing. What has your weight been like throughout that journey?
Let's see, looking back to high school, as a junior, a sophomore in high school, I felt that I was heavier. But when I look back at pictures, I really wasn't. It was more of a perception in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really start really getting heavy until I got married and then put on weight with each pregnancy. And the second pregnancy being twins, so I put on a lot of weight there, and then it just didn't come back off.
Can you give us some specifics at 4'11", what you mean by, you know, you got heavy or you put on a lot of weight, or what does that mean? Do you know?
I mean, let's see. Pregnancy weight. When I was pregnant with the twins, I weighed 165 pounds.
Okay.
That's a lot of weight.
Mm-hmm.
After the twins, 6 months later, even 9 months later, I still weighed 145.
So 6 to 9 months after birthing the twins.
After, yeah.
You were about 145.
Uh-huh.
When was that?
92.
Okay. Going back a ways now.
A long time, yeah.
Okay. So in 92, even after having the twins, you were 140, 145 pounds on a 4'11 frame. So that's 14 years ago, so get us caught up.
Get us caught up. Let's see. At that point, I tried Tops. I tried Weight Watchers. I tried Jenny Craig. And I don't even know what else.
Right.
Nutrisystem was probably another one. I tried just about anything that there was that I could find to try. And it would work for a while, and of course I would stop.
Now, what would you mean work? What did your weight do? Where would it get down to? And what was your kind of a natural give-up point?
Oh, geez. Probably, usually didn't last very long. Maybe 10 to 15 pounds drop.
Okay. Maybe about 130, 135.
Uh-huh.
All right, so you tried a number of programs, and that was between 1992 and what? 2002?
Yeah.
So you stayed, you never really dropped below 130.
In that time, maybe 125, but no.
Maybe, okay. And how about just overall fitness in general? What were you doing? What was your lifestyle like? When we look at, you know, with the Leanness Lifestyle and the Club Lifestyle online program, I teach nutritionally fit lifestyle principles, actively fit lifestyle principles, and emotionally fit lifestyle principles. But what was your lifestyle like when you were 130 to 140 during that 1992 to 2002 time period? I mean, were you active 3 months a year and then took 9 months off?
I wasn't. Active for me was chasing, you know, three toddlers around.
Okay. Okay.
And that was it.
No structured exercise.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And
no.
what were your eating habits like? Like, what did you do to make the day pass, or, you know, what
I ate what the kids ate. You know, the macaroni and cheese and hot dogs and, you know, the McDonald's chicken nuggets and whatever they ate, I ate.
Right.
And then theirs, too.
All right. And so in 2002, you found Leanest Lifestyle, and now, you know, bring us from 2002 to, you know, the last 30 days or so.
2002 to now?
Within the last 30 days and now or whatever.
I found Leanest Lifestyle in 2002, like I said, weighing 140-ish around Christmas time. The Diva 3 Intensive popped up in January, and I was lucky enough to get into that. Dropped to 116.8 at that time, and pretty much held that within 5 pounds up until March of this year, whenever that was you challenged me.
So you stayed within 5 pounds-ish of the 116 that you lost in Diva 3 between 2002 and the beginning of 2006?
Yeah, within 5, maybe 8.
Right.
At the most,
That's pretty darn good.
It felt good, but...
Yeah.
As you know, and you challenged me to take it to the next step, next level.
Well, absolutely. And, I'm all about what my clients really want. And sometimes it's easier for me to see numbers-wise, physical-wise, what it's really going to take to get the true goal. The goal isn't a number. The goal is a look, a feel, a level of fitness. And a lot of times it's easier for me to see what that's going to take, weight-wise, activity-wise, or whatever. And seeing you at the 115 to 120, 122 range on that 411 frame, knowing what level you were wanting to bring it to, I knew that ultimately, you know, whether even 110 just wasn't going to do it. All right, so that's pretty darn good, though, really. I mean, to think that in that 10-year period between 1992 and 2002, you hadn't dropped below 125.
Nope.
You did one intensive, and you dropped to 116 and stayed, you know, between 116 and, say, 122 or 123, which is still below the 125 for 4 years.
Right.
Wow, I hadn't really realized that, Robin. That's pretty darn good. All right, so I challenged you at the beginning of 06, and I said, look, I think I really know what you want. Where you think you're going to go, I know you can do more, you can do better. So what did we say? How did it kind of come together, and what did you decide to do?
Well, first I thought you were crazy.
What did I tell you that made you think I was crazy?
You said you could be 100 pounds. I'm like, right. That's never, never, ever will that happen. Mm-hmm. And it took me a while to wrap my head around a number.
Right.
Like you said, it was just a number, but it was a number that I hadn't been... For as long as I can remember.
Right.
Probably junior high, high school.
Mm-hmm.
So, the number scared me. You talked me down, and you took another pound off that. You said, all right, fine, 99. Like, okay, fine. I'm not one to back down from a challenge.
No.
And it was okay at first. I had my struggles here and there. Again, 90% mental.
Right. Right, you were fighting that lower weight, and you had, you know, I know that there were a couple of periods here and there where, like you said, plus or minus 5 pounds from the 116, because there were a couple of periods where you dropped to, the 110 to 112 range, I believe, before this 06, latest in.
Right.
When you had gotten down to there, you would touch 110, and then you would pop right back up to that 117 to 120 range. So,
I did, yes.
Yeah, so your set point, your natural comfortable reset after the 1992 to 2002 never dropping below 125 seemed to be between 115 and 120, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew we had to get out of that, just completely get rid of it completely. But what was your head saying? I mean, immediately, like you said, you were thinking, come on, 99, 100 pounds, I haven't seen that since 5th, 6th grade, whatever. And you had some mental roadblocks. That whole anything below 110 for you seems to be kind of a mental hurdle. Any insights as to maybe something you could share that would give somebody else listening some insight into what your head was really doing to you?
It was more the outside attention when I got to that weight that kind of freaked me out. And that's mainly what caused the pop-ups. I also, again, it was a number on a scale that I hadn't been at in a long time, and it was just kind of a scary number. I had weird high school, junior high story. I had a best friend whose dad called me Chesty all the time.
Chesty?
Chesty.
Oh, God.
So the thinner I get, the bigger my chest looks, and that all came back, and I had to work through that. And once I worked through that, and then I was okay.
Did somebody say something recently inappropriate, or just did the thoughts of the past and that knucklehead's inappropriate comments come back?
Mainly the past.
Okay.
The past comments.
Something you had mentioned, Robin, if you're not comfortable talking about it, don't worry about it, but something that you mentioned just a second ago that is very, very common among my female clients is a lot of times when they get down to the lower weight, there are some feelings about, like you said, attention or looks or whatever, typically from men.
Mm-hmm.
I think you were alluding to that occurring with you.
Yes.
Like when you would get to like 110 or less.
Right.
Give me some insight into what you perceived men were doing, or just flat out what men were doing. What do you mean?
Just more guys talking to me. More. I'm typically, no one believes what I mean when I, once they know me, when I say that, I'm typically a shy person.
Okay.
So the outside attention and talking to strangers, or, you know, strangers talking to me, hitting on me, flirting, whatever you want to call it,
mm-hmm.
I didn't like that.
Mm-hmm.
My kids really don't like it.
Right, right. Are you referred to as the hot mom or anything like that?
Yeah, and that freaked them out big time.
Right, right.
Tracy
is referred to that way too, which kind of made us at first years ago when she was referred to as the hot mom. Like, what? What are you saying? That's my wife.
Yeah, the boys set everybody straight, and they're okay now. So
okay. But, yeah, okay, so that would bother you, and that would be one of the reasons that you would have some roadblocks or ambivalence about going lower.
Right.
Okay. Well, that's a very real, very common issue for women, so I know that there are going to be a lot of people listening to that. So, all right, so you had the feeling, you had whatever you had, and a lot of times it's not necessarily so much about what is really occurring with men or looks or comments, as much as it is what you perceive people are really thinking when they're speaking to you, or what their intent is. And a lot of things get really played and overblown in our head when we're trying to figure out what the real intent is of someone, or what they really mean, or why are they talking to me. So that fear can kind of come in. How did you overcome that?
My husband and I, we talked about it a lot, and just a lot of reassurance from him.
That
it's all fine, mainly not to worry about it, I guess.
Okay.
That however I look is fine, and don't worry about anybody else or what anybody else says or thinks. And it just took a lot from him, a lot of reassurance.
Well, I know that you and Rich have a great relationship. You've been married, like you said, almost 20 years, and it's great to hear that he was a big support for you in that struggle. Sounds like it really made a big difference.
He's been great all the way along the line.
That's what,
all the way.
And you know what I can say? I'll say for Robin, in all honesty, that you and I have communicated fairly regularly over the many years that you've been in Lena's lifestyle, and I can honestly say that when Robin says that Rich has been a support, I have not had a conversation with Robin in any way, shape, or form where she hasn't stated that consistently. So you guys really have an outstanding marriage and a relationship. And Rich, thank you for supporting Robin. I'm going to say that right on this interview.
He really likes your voice motivators, too. The ones about giving your spouse attention.
Yes.
He wants me to get that one every day over and over again.
Oh, that's funny. All right. So, So when you first found the Lena's lifestyle, you were 140-ish.
Mm-hmm.
And what size clothes does a 4'11 woman wear when she's 140?
Oh, close to a size 9'10.
Okay.
Women's
9'10. Uh-huh. You should be in petite because you're so short, right? I mean, is that what petite means? The shortness, kind of the smallness,
yeah,
shortness?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. And when you say 9'10 women's, that's not petite.
No, it is petite. I have to go with the short.
You have to go with the short. Okay, so it's still 9'10.
That's a given, yeah.
Okay. all right. And so what did you get down to and when?
Weight-wise?
Yeah.
Weight-wise, I hit 99. 90, a little under 99.
Mm-hmm.
July 12th.
Yeah, that was
actually July 11th. But and my size went down. I can wear probably a 1-2.
Mm-hmm.
Not quite to the zeros.
Right.
Or the double zeros.
Right.
But that's, I'm going to get there.
Oh, yeah.
Somehow I'm going to get in her jeans, and my daughter's jeans. And she wears these double zero shorts because, you know, she's built like I am.
That's funny.
I don't know if it's because I've given birth or what.
Well, yeah. You know, it's the, the structure can change just a bit, the bone structure and all that, you bet.
So size 1-2 is, again, petite or shorts or whatever.
Yeah.
And extra small shirts, which is still, I still tend to go, for the mediums and the larges when I'm shopping.
Right.
It's just a habit, and my daughter's like, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm. You can't wear that, Mom.
You need an extra small, Mom.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's neat. So throughout this journey, and it has been a journey, and it's been a number of years, and it's taken a while to, get your head in the right place and get all the things working for you. You know, what would you say was harder than you thought it would be, and what was easier?
Probably controlling what I eat or how much I eat, or
right.
Just that whole aspect of having to watch what I eat.
Mm-hmm. Because your tendency is to do what when left to your own devices and your old lifestyle patterns and that kind of thing? Is
to eat whatever, whenever.
Whenever.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
No control. I mean,
even when you're training, because we'll get into this in a second, but even when you're training for these athletic events, you would typically eat that way, or you would eat even more so that way because of it?
Well, if I were to revert back now while training, I would probably still do, maybe not whatever, but whenever, yeah.
Right. Just not enough planning, the portion size is too big, and the food is just too fatty and junky.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
What was, anything easier than you thought, or was it all about right on par?
I would say probably the exercise. Once I got into that consistently, but then I took it the other extreme and I tend to overtrain because I don't back off when I should.
Mm-hmm.
But the exercise, I found, once I got going, that was easy. I don't think I ever struggled with putting in the time.
During this latest phase, going from that 115-ish down to the 99, were there any stumbling blocks that you had to overcome, or was every day just a bed of roses for you?
I think my biggest stumbling block would be getting sick.
Yeah.
The pleurisy, the bronchitis, and dealing with that. Because when I get sick, I want to go for the comfort foods, the grilled cheese, the macaroni, the tomato soup.
Right.
The chocolate shake.
Mm-hmm.
So getting past that, being sick without reverting back to those foods, was hard.
So it was, for you, the biggest struggles in the latest leg of this journey were getting sick or getting injured, hurt.
Right.
So now you had a bicycle accident, and
that was last August, yeah.
But in the latest stint, there were no accidents. It was just the sickness, and it was a couple of them.
Yeah.
You had a couple of them, right?
I think they were every 4 weeks.
Just boom.
I looked back at my training log, and it was every 4 weeks.
Well, I hope you're starting to do a little bit more glutamine and maybe some
I've boosted up the glutamine. I'm actually seeing an acupuncturist, a chiropractor, and knock on wood, nothing.
Right.
I have nothing since I started seeing him about 8 weeks ago.
Good. All right, so tell us what a typical, and I know no one eats perfectly, but tell us what a typical day is like for you when you're going from, let's just say when you're going from 105 to 99. What's a typical food day like for you?
Okay, I'm in the midst of triathlon training season right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if it would be exactly the same in the wintertime.
Right.
But now it's my pre-workout meal is an apple. And I take apricots and accelerate on a training ride. So I'll have that type of thing. Probably 300 calories worth of fuel during my workouts. I come back and it's an oatmeal, half a cup of oatmeal with a scoop of protein powder. Lunch is usually a chicken breast and half a sweet potato, or half a cup of sweet potatoes.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, dinner, maybe a salmon and green beans and a salad on the side with that. And my before-bed snacks, usually a protein shake.
Anything in the mid-afternoon after lunch?
In between
lunch and dinner.
I usually try to throw in something small in there, too. Maybe one of those small tuna cans with a serving of asparagus or some type of green vegetable.
And when you go on a training run and you bring your apricots and Accelerate is made by who? Cytomax or Cytosport?
Oh, Accelerate, I'm not sure who that's made by.
I think it is, but anyway, it's Accelerate. And that you take that on a training run or a training ride or whatever. Now, how long is it like a training ride or whatever?
At this time, I'm, you know, let's see, 90 to 120 minutes to longer.
Okay.
In fact, you know, like the Saturdays will be like, it'll be a 3-hour one this Saturday, but anywhere between 90 minutes and 3 hours, I'd say.
Okay. You know, when we talk about food, and you mentioned that food was kind of your hardest thing to overcome, it was just kind of anything and everything type of eating pattern without near enough planning it, and that would really hold you up from making good progress. Would you ever say that there was any addiction to any foods, or was it just too much of the junk and just too many years of that same old lifestyle pattern?
I think I am. I really have to watch the sugar. I don't know if it's considered a real addiction to sugar, but I try to limit the sugar big time.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to stay away from grapes. Triggered some weird cravings for me.
Okay.
And it took me a long time to figure it out. I'm like, you know, grapes are really good.
Right.
But as I look back at my logs, if I ate grapes one day, and I can look 2 days after that, and those 2 days would be 2 days where I was craving whatever, any type of sugar, any type of, you know, just bad stuff afterwards.
Right. That's how triggers are. They don't necessarily, I mean, triggers can typically take many forms as far as how nasty they are. They can have you make it very hard to stop eating that particular food. You just kind of carve out the bottom of the bag or box or bowl. But another thing that triggers can do is you find that, well, you kind of stop before you overeat it. However, when you're done, you find that you have terrible cravings for other things in the same category or other categories
right.
for sometimes the same day or for days afterwards. So they're very, very sneaky. So for you, that's grapes. Vegetables. You eat vegetables every day?
I eat vegetables every day.
How many cups would you say you eat a day on average?
Oh, geez. I try to do 5 to 6.
So let's talk about exercise. Now, one of the things that, you know, we've talked about many times over the years is I 100% agree. Once you got into exercise, you embraced it. You really seemed to enjoy it. And I know that a lot of it's work and it's hard. But it certainly seems, and it, especially as you've gotten into the competitive side, that you really like it. And I know you teach spinning and whatnot. So how much exercise do you normally do, and what typically makes up your exercise schedule?
Let's see. Cardio is anywhere from, like I said, 90 minutes to 3 hours a day, depending on the day. I lift weights at least 3 days a week. And I like to shake that up a lot. I love the Muscle Professor, but only once have I stuck to it all 27 weeks or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I tend to shake it up a whole lot quicker than that.
Yeah.
And change things all the time. But if I could get away with just lifting weights every day and not having to do any cardio, I would certainly do it. I'd take that back. Before I started doing this triathlon stuff, that's how I felt.
Okay.
With the triathlon training, that's really changed my outlook. By having a goal, the triathlon has really helped with me starting to enjoy the cardio.
Right. Well, that's one of the reasons that I'm a huge fan of exercise that is done for a purpose other than weight loss, because it's given you a new purpose for doing it.
Oh, definitely.
It's
yeah.
not just about getting the weight off.
Right.
Now it's about being competitive.
It's about beating the guys now.
It's about beating the guys. All right, so, you know, that's a lot of exercise. 7 days a week, 6 days a week?
Six.
6 days a week. Okay, very good, very good. Let's see. So you just competed in a sprint, right?
Yesterday.
So what is that?
That is a half-mile swim, a 13-mile bike ride, and a 4-mile run.
And how'd you do?
I did great. I did it in an hour and 41 minutes. I beat my time from the one I just did in July, which was actually a shorter. It was a shorter bike and a shorter run in that one. So
and you still
I did
beat
much
it.
Better.
And you still beat your time.
And I still beat my time, yeah.
Oh, that's outstanding. All right, so throughout this process, did you give up all your favorite foods to make this work?
Oh, absolutely not.
Okay, so did you have a splurge every now and then?
Once a week I have it.
Once a week. And what is a splurge for you?
Oh, could be. It depends on the week. For a while it was really strange. It was a tenderloin from Culver's.
Okay.
And no bread, just the tenderloin. It had to have mustard and tomatoes and lettuce on it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it. Sometimes it's an ice cream cone.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's a slice of pizza.
Okay.
Depends.
Would it be a slice of pizza?
Yes.
That would be your splurge. So what do you do now, and how did you finally, you know, we had a talk a few months back, I saw that 107 pounds. I got to the point where I was sick of seeing 107 pounds, 105, 107, 108. And so we had a little chat, and we found that there were just little things with food that were still creeping in. And so we had that talk. You tighten things up. Boom. Scale started moving again. So what I want to ask you is, what did you do, and what do you do when you feel the pull toward the unhealthy eating? Like you said, anything and everything. What did you do? What change did you make, and how did you tweak what, if you were to show what you were eating at 107 pounds to a doctor, nutritionist, registered dietitian, you would have gotten several gold medals, awards, standing ovations. But I could see that what you were doing was not enough to get you where you wanted to go with this goal. What did you do? And how did you finally put away the caving, giving in to the little things that were keeping you at that same weight?
It was mainly I got sloppy and lazy. I wasn't really accurately measuring or weighing anything.
Okay.
Like, it was a big thing for me was the sweet potato.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it said a medium sweet potato. Okay, sure. I went back to the nutrition data and did it by cup size instead.
Mm-hmm.
And started measuring it that way. My medium sweet potato was actually an extra large sweet potato.
Right.
So that right there was, you know, part, you know, big part of the problem. I just tweaked everything like that. I went back and started measuring. I started, you know, weighing everything, really paying attention to the details.
Right.
Because like I said, I got sloppy. I thought I knew it, everything. And when you called me on it, you know, I'm like, the gall of him to,
yeah, the gall
to
of
tell
him.
Me that I'm not being 100% on my food logs.
Right.
But then I, you know, so, but I listened and
right.
I followed your advice and I went back and I started logging, I mean, weighing and measuring everything, and sure enough, I was off on a lot more things than I thought it was.
So it wasn't so much, right, and in the end, I just want to tell anybody listening that there was a difference in reality. There was a difference of probably between 300 and 450 calories a day.
At least,
is what we found with Robin, and that's somebody who, you know, Robin's really got this down. I want anybody listening to understand that Robin really understands the program. She's top as far as members go, and she really understands. In fact, if anyone doesn't know who's listening, Robin's assisted. Have you twice now or once in for my boot camp?
Coaching?
Yeah.
I coached once and participated once.
Right, okay. So, I mean, I even asked Robin to be an assistant coach, you know, for one of my boot camps. So, I mean, she really understands this. So let me see if I make sure I understand what you're saying, Robin, as far as the food goes. It wasn't that what you did is, it wasn't so much that you had to find all kinds of mental strategies to overcome the pull toward macaroni and cheese. It was more about what you were eating. The portions were just too big. Or was it a combination of both?
I think it was more portion size.
Okay.
Like I got lazy. I thought, I know what this is.
Right.
I've been doing it for a long time, and it was just a matter of going back and paying attention to detail.
Okay. I don't spend a lot of time, whether I'm in a boot camp or I'm in anything else, and in my book there's only a few pages devoted to it when we talk about supplements. What supplements do you feel like are a must, just that you just will not absolutely be without, and that you don't think that other people trying to cut the fat off should be without?
The Bridge multivitamin, my Omega Supreme, my calcium supplements, and I take at least 1,500 milligrams of vitamin C a day. Those are my must-haves.
Those are your must-haves. Other things that you use to supplement to fill in the gaps here and there, anything else you use? I know you use the Accelerade for your training rides.
My Accelerade and the protein powder.
Okay. And that's about it.
And occasionally, on and off, I like to use the ALR hyperdrive.
Right. How about, so you use glutamine too, though, right?
And my glutamine, yes.
Yeah, glutamine's great for, especially for the triathlete or the person training 2-3 hours a day. Very good for the immune system to help prevent the overtraining syndrome, you bet. Okay. So, all right. So at one point you were a 9-10, now you're a 1-2. What's coming up for you in the future? Anything you're considering? I know you're continuing to compete. Any big dreams, goals in that particular area?
No, just to continue, like I said, to get better at each triathlon, to get faster, to get, like I said, beat the guys.
Right.
And I'm also going to do a half marathon in October, just to continue to excel that way and put my focus on fitness goals as opposed to weight loss. I think if I keep my head in the game that way, it'll all be good.
One of the things I wanted to ask, and I meant to ask it earlier, is you had already snagged Rich, okay? And you weren't 105 pounds when you snagged him, right?
No.
Okay. So you had the babies. You got a great guy. You guys got a great marriage. He supports you. Again, in many conversations we've had, a lot of love in this relationship. And you go up to 165 with the twins. After the twins, you stay around 140, 145. Hey, I got to take a wild stab here and say that Rich still loved you.
Yes. Right? He didn't care either way.
Right. He didn't care either way. So you got that kind of husband. That's cool. Whatever it is, but that's what works for you guys, you know, and you guys are strong. So, you know, what was it in you? Why go for any of this? What difference was it going to make whether you were 130 or 110 or 100 pounds? What difference was it going to make? Why did you do this?
Mainly because I feel better. Not just physically feel better, but mentally, all the way around. Every aspect of my life is better because I feel better about me.
Mm-hmm. Was there a long-term kind of nagging, I can be better, or something unfinished, or even if it was small, was there, you know, kind of a daily angst or anything at all that maybe didn't make you unhappy as a person? I'm not saying that, where you walked around depressed every day. But was there something that kind of gnawed at you inside for a number of years?
Oh, sure. I felt fat and tired and having a hard time keeping up, you know, with three toddlers. Actually, by the time I got started, they were a little older. But, yeah, just feeling fat and funky and got tired of that.
Okay. So what advice would you give to the person who's now in your shoes when you were 145? He was thinking about beginning their second or, you know, as we're all too familiar, that maybe their 15th. Weight loss attempt, and they're trying to figure out what to do and whether they should even try or bother again. Listen, a lot of people listening have said and repeated over and over and over again, I've tried everything. Nothing works. What would you say?
Oh, let's see. Start by reading the Leanest Lifestyle book. Take advantage of the tools, the absolute awesome coach that we have and all the awesome advice he gives, even though it sometimes makes you mad. And just know and trust in the program, trust in coach, trust that it's going to work, and just wrap your head around it and just do it. And pay attention to detail. Details are key to succeeding.
But Robin, I'm resistant to logging anything. I don't want to go through all that. Can't you just give me a pill or a 15-word program that I can just follow simply, quickly, to get the fat off, as the infomercials say, quickly, simply, and easily, without any effort at all? Can't you just give me something like that? Well, do I have to really get into details? I don't want to do any of that.
Nope. Details are important, and you've got to work. It's not just going to happen. There's no such thing as the magic pill.
You know, I think, how many times have we seen each other in person?
How many what?
How many times have we seen each other in person?
Three or four?
Yeah.
Five?
What was that, like events?
Six?
Like bodybuilding shows or something?
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, as far as making this transformation, would you say that the times that we did see each other at these bodybuilding shows or whatnot, that was paramount to your success?
No.
I mean, you were successful, essentially, using the program, using the coaching that I deliver through the private messaging and whatnot, without really seeing me.
Yes.
True?
Yes.
When we did see each other, it would be more at an event.
Right, right.
Something along those lines, or maybe for a quick workout before an event. Or
right, and then not be able to walk for a few days.
All right, I'm going to give you the last word here. Any last word of advice to others who will hear this later? There's a lot of people who are going to be listening to this who know who you are because you've been a very active member of Leanest Lifestyle and Club Lifestyle Online now for a number of years. But there are going to be people listening who don't have a clue who you are, and this will be the first time they've ever heard from you or have gotten to know you at all. So any last words of advice?
I guess that anything's possible. set your goals, write your whys, and you can make it happen. But you got to believe that you can make it happen, and you have to trust in the program, trust in you, trust in yourself that you can achieve these goals and make them happen.
Well, Robin, thanks so much for taking time out of your day to do this interview with me. I know that it's going to benefit the members that are listening and the future members that are going to be listening to this for years to come. So much success in the future on your competitions and maintaining. But let me ask you this. I want to get you on record on audio with a verbal idea, commitment of where you're going to be. Where's your weight going to be a year from now and 2 years from now? What do you want to do?
I'd like to be right where I am. Right at 100 pounds.
100 pounds.
100 pounds. It's a great competing weight. It's it feels good. It looks good. I like where I'm at.
You going to give yourself any leeway over the holidays?
Yeah, a few pounds here and there.
And then instead of the...
Nothing over five.
Nothing over five.
Nope.
And if it does, then you'll go back into action. You'll zero it back into that 99 to 100.
Yep.
Awesome. Well, I know I said last word, but I just that really will be the last word. That's just wanted to make sure that we kind of knew where you were going to go and what you were going to do. So, again, thank you so much for your time. It's going to benefit a lot of people, and we really appreciate you being a continued member and supporting everyone as you do. Thanks, Robin.
All right. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening. To learn more about the Leanness Lifestyle and Club Lifestyle online program, please visit www.leannesslifestyle.com. Spelled out, that's www.leannesslifestyle.com. Thank you again.